Hi, I'm David and welcome to the Datasaurus Rex podcast, where we interview data visualization experts and get to know them and their data viz a little bit better. By the end, you should learn new skills and get inspired to enhance your own data viz game. And today's guest is Lee Hurst, who is actually a first on this podcast, is a Data Studio expert who's built a ton of great resources and a really active member in the DataViz community, but also the Data Studio community. So it's great to have you here, Lee. Would you like to tell us a bit about yourself before we dive into exploring your dashboard?
Oh, thanks a lot, Dave. So I've been a big fan of the Datasaurus community and followed along as you've done some work in the past. So I've been involved with Data Studio pretty much since the early betas. And as far as I know, as soon as it became any publicly available, I've been working with it. Before that, I started off as a long ago as a machine language programmer back in the 90s, actually, but I was a little bit early for that curve. Joined IBM, worked on some large web business applications at the time. Dropped out of that to work locally. So I work now at an industrial company that sells gaskets globally, where I put on many hats and do e-commerce, web, strategy, SEO, reporting, all sorts of things. Wow. So it's a fun challenge, that part. But it doesn't give me much connection with the community because there's not a lot of depth technically there. So I started getting into the Data Studio part. I've been involved with web development groups and such, and just found there was no community because there was no product. And there started to develop a community. So what I did was I started building a resource guide. I started reviewing articles on Data Studio and people's visualizations, scrounging the internet to find all these resources that were just becoming available. Nobody really knew what they were doing with it. There was, you know, good stuff, bad stuff, but there was no central resource. So I started building that and sharing my work, and eventually that just got me known. And of course, contributing and blogging. So it's been an interesting road to being known in an area. I think that's that was kind of my favorite part of this journey so far. It's worked out rather well.
No, this is great. And just for the listeners at home, I'm exploring the dashboard as we speak, but the link to this will be in the show notes below, along with any other links we talk about. And yeah, it's a great resource. I'm really loving it. And it's just funny, before we dive into the questions, you did mention the community. I first actually heard of you from Andy Kriebel from Makeover Monday, who mentioned you've participated in quite a few Makeover Mondays using Data Studio. And that's really cool to hear, because a lot of people just think, oh, Data Studio is synonymous with Tableau Public. And I guess that's quite popular, but it's good to see that you're trying with other tools and really, you know, saying there's other options out there. So it's, DataViz community is awesome.
It's really interesting because the DataViz community, although it's heavily Tableau, and it has been in the past, we've seen things like Makeover Monday, where they've been very open to having other visualizations. It's just that it's been so dominated by Tableau. But they've opened that up. I haven't put many out there myself. I followed along on a couple. I usually feature people who do submit to things like Makeover Monday with their Data Studio entries. So I'm usually a big cheerleader or supporter of people who are doing that sort of visualization with Data Studio. There's these differences between the tools, and there's some crossover, of course. And maybe that's something that we want to look at, as kind of this crossover between these two audiences and what they do. There's obviously some things you can do with both, and some things that work, you know, obviously much better in Tableau, and some things that are kind of neat in Data Studio.
Totally. I agree. I get asked this question a lot, like, yeah, what's the difference between the two? And yeah, they both have different strengths. So it's kind of finding the right tool for the job, right? Like, you know, if you want free, scalable, secure, more simple dashboarding, yeah, like Data Studio is the way to go. But yeah, if you want something a little bit more advanced, or you'd want to explore data in a very like complex data, and then actually be able to quickly make insights, and then also distribute those, probably more in a static way, because I guess trying to share it internally using Tableau can be a little bit more costly. Yeah, it depends what you need in your business. But I think the kind of solo analyst inside a company can benefit from both. It just depends what they're trying to build for. So it's not like one or the other. So it's great that you're showcasing that with Data Studio.
There's many different aspects or ways to look at this whole visualization thing and what it means in a bigger picture. We have so much data now, of course, we need to be more data literate. As societies go, we just have more data, even personally. I know you did a Fitbit dashboard, and I've been building my Fitbit dashboards. We have so much more access to data and our own data even. Trying to get that out there in a format and in a way, just looking at rows and columns of data on spreadsheets doesn't do it. It doesn't tell you anything. So yeah. But when we visualize, we understand more, hopefully, although there's always the danger of hiding more also with the visualization.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, I'd still at least prefer some data out there than like none at all, because I think often that might be the default position of people. If it's not accessible in some form, they just might not engage at all, or it's too hard to get insights out. So, but yes, it's a tricky balance, but it is fun. Yeah. Like Data Studio enables people like you and I and anyone in the community to like tap into those data sources, like the Google Fit data. I had a dashboard I built, and it's been quite popular. Like people are going, oh, this is really good. I built my own, I've modified it. But again, that's the awesome nature of Data Studio and Tableau Public. You can kind of download, modify, make it your own, and just give people that starting block and that inspiration. So it's really cool to see that you've got this central resource. So for those of you who can't see it right now, it's a Data Studio dashboard, which houses, yes, all loads of great articles, help articles, templates for people to leverage. You've even got Twitter data in there, which is really cool.
Which is awesome. Draw your attention to that. Let me load it up on my side here.
Yeah, yeah.
So talk about kind of the genesis of this thing. Like I said, initially, this was back in end of 2016, I believe, when Data Studio became generally available. And at that time, you could only do supposedly 5 reports. So said, you can only make 5 reports on this general public. Otherwise, you got to pay for it. Mm. And of course, everyone's like, well, that's 5 reports per account. So I'll just go open up more accounts.
Didn't take that one. Yeah.
Well, somehow I think they were like, okay, this isn't going to work. We either need to make it, roll it out fully public or not. And we've really seen the uptake on it. Of course, it was, listed in beta for a long time. But just like Gmail was listed in beta until it had, 50 million users or something. It was pretty solid for working with right from the start. It was very, very basic at that time. It's gone through changes. It's the development speed is amazing on it. Anyhow, so I started off, there weren't a lot of resources. What I found myself doing was bookmarking, blog posts and things. It's like, oh, let me bookmark this blog. It's a great idea. I've bookmarked one of yours on, I think you were one of the people who early on was starting to try to embed, data studio at that time. And it didn't have the feature of being embeddable. But you had worked out some ways to like squeeze it in. So there were all these people hacking solutions. That's really cool. That's what I want to do. Let me bookmark this. And then I would lose track of the bookmark. So I'm like, well, let me throw these in a spreadsheet. And I said, well, if I've got them in a spreadsheet, I can make a data studio out of it. And then categorize them and start putting filters on them. So that's how that kind of organically grew. And I was like, well, let me put a rating on this, and then let me figure out a way to put stars on there, and let me figure out a way to put an image in there. And then so as features grew, and then as resources grew, I was able to add more and more into the into that. I don't know if you'd call it a report. Like I said, it's really a. It's. I don't know if it's really a report. It's more of a interactive application. So it's. The way I looked at it was, hey, I've got this. Like I said, it was a really cool inception sort of thing. Because at first I'm like, oh, I've got these references on Data Studio. Let me put them in a spreadsheet. Now I build a Data Studio about Data Studio for Data Studio stuff. And I kind of started sharing that. And people were like, hey, this is cool. And I had like 50 resources in there. And everyone's like, ooh, ah, amazing. Because nobody really was collecting stuff like that and reviewing it.
Yeah. And it's amazing. There's 323 so far and counting, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I'm just behind.
Oh wow! So yeah, because I've seen there's actually I need to probably submit a couple more to you because I've got a few more posts now. But this is great to see you have a vehicle to do that.
I can't cover everybody now. There's people like Michael Howe Eli who are producing one like every 2 days or something. Oh, and no. I'm like I can't keep up with everybody now. At first it was like meh. There's a couple or three a week, four or five. But now there's posts popping out all over. You wouldn't believe how many beginner's guides there are. It becomes a question of curation. And there's a lot of duplication out there. There's, like I said, there's probably 7 ultimate guides to Data Studio by big name players, right? Big agencies and stuff on the web. Because that's SEO worthy. Some of them are better than others and appropriate for different users. So my job then, I actually about, 3 months ago, I went back through and redid all the data, went back through every review, redid my ratings because some things had become outdated and fallen off, and there were better things out there, so it kind of shifted everybody around. I had to double check. I also had to add more classifications on because with 300 resources, it was getting unwieldy with just the regular categories. So adding human data, augmenting basic data, like a list of links with qualitative human data is a really interesting way to go.
Because you don't want to be fully automated. Because people might like abuse it, put spam up there or like try and game it. So it's great that you've still got a human element to kind of go, like, I think this is worthwhile. Off we go.
Yeah.
So that's really cool that there's someone like you who's curating this. Because I think it's easy just to search for stuff, but actually curating and knowing that this is every article here is gold or going to be helpful. And I love how you've classified it. The taxonomy is great. And again, just for the audio listeners, we've got different audience categorized by different audience types, different categories. You can then like drill in using the new drill in features of Tableau. The new drill in features of Data Studio. So drill in features of Data Studio. So if I click on reporting, it just zooms into that. So I love how you've kind of, like you mentioned earlier, like as new features come out, you just bury those back into this dashboard to enhance it even more. Like the embedded thumbnails too. It's cool because then you can actually see what it's about too, not just it's just a line of text in a table. It's you actually get a little sense of what it is.
As Data Studio developed and as new features came out, I would embed them in this and kind of as hidden examples of how to do things. Actually the newest one there is probably the grid table up at the top, navigation, which is interactive, and you can, if you click on any point in there, it'll filter.
Oh, let's give it a go. Designers examples 29 and amazing.
And then you can filter on the left side further.
Amazing. No, this is beautiful stuff. I mean, I think that's sometimes the problem with these, or just any kind of data. If there's too much of it, people just go, oh God, where do I start? And they have a walk off or they get frustrated because they can't find what they want. But this elegant taxonomy combined with curation and also a well-designed dashboard is streamlining the process and making all this awesome information super accessible. That's why I love it. It's
very popular. So, as time, the other, So some of the cool things about Data Studio are, and I don't know about this as much on Tableau, I can track the usage of this. So, you know, I've embedded a Google Analytics link in here. That's a major feature. If you go to the usage stat.
Here we go.
So this is another inception point, right? if you go to the usage stats, it's not just a bunch of stats. It's actually a live pull from the analytics for this dashboard.
This dashboard
is feeding an analytics account, and then it's pulling its own stats back in, and then showing them to the public. So I wanted some form of visibility to people also. I wanted to try to be, and quite often, system errors. Are you getting system errors?
No, I'm not. I'm not seeing it. No, it's working fine for me. So we'll cut it. But yeah, this is good.
Data Studio.
Yeah, it's Murphy's Law. Yeah. So it's
part of the fun too. Has been trying to. There's kind of a group of us. We're like storm chasers. We watch for Data Studio changes before they're announced, and try to figure out what the new features do and how they work, because often there's a lag. Because unlike regular software that you would download, they're able to, you know, update this for everyone globally, right? But they'll often update it and do releases before they document it. So there's a lag time.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a major lag. Sometimes it's quite a while, and sometimes it's a short lag time. It usually doesn't affect major previous functionality, but it does affect what you can do with the thing. So if you go look at the release notes on Data Studio for all your Tableau users, if you were like a couple months ago, it just doesn't do this, well, go check the release notes, because they're on a weekly release schedule, for better or worse. In some ways, it's really tough. I'm trying to write a book right now on it. I was hired by Wiley to write a Data Studio book.
Oh, wow.
Which was great. They found me. So I guess part of the interesting thing here is just how to get known in an industry also, or in an area, in a niche. And like I said, it doesn't hurt that my tag is helpfully. So it gave me the... kind of the permission to go butt into people's business and try to help them and get known that way and share resources. But
that's exciting. Yeah. And I'd love to hear more about the book in a second, but just on the updates, it's funny you mentioned that, because I've been building a dashboard, which I need to submit to your dashboard, which goes through the page of their updates. It's all manual, but again, it happens so often now. But basically I kind of copy paste and build my own little database. Yep. So you can then see the number of changes they're doing, and also use the filter functionality to actually, like, I just want to look at, I don't know, text, and then it will just kind of filter everything text. So you can actually see the changes. Cause I think one of the unfair things with Data Studio potentially is people may have used it, you know, a couple of years ago when it was in beta, and it might have not done a couple of things they wanted to. And then they've just walked off and, you know, branded it as not good, but then they're always working on it. They're always making it better. So that's why I built this dashboard, to help people go, hey, look, give it another shot. That thing you were annoyed about, which wasn't there, probably is now. Go find it. So,
I had seen that one. But that's kind of the fun thing here. It's fairly easy to find. Fairly easy to find Data Studio type stuff when someone publishes it out there, and it's easy to share. So I had seen that one, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Is that one up to date?
It is now, yes. So it was a bit stale. Now. Yeah, it was a bit stale. I updated it last week.
Well, what I'm working on when I get free time is I need to make a little scraper that looks at there's a version number buried inside your Data Studio source code or HTML source. So you can, and it has a date on it for the last release. So it's possible to automate it. What I'm trying to do is set up an alert to Twitter that says, hey, there's a new release. Go look for new features. So there's always like this treasure Easter egg hunt for everyone. Someone's in the past has noticed a new feature, and they'll be like, hey, there's something going on. And then people would run around to their interfaces and try to figure out what the new features were, right? Google wouldn't announce them for sometimes for like 2 weeks. Two weeks later, they were, you know, when they were done documenting the new features. So there might be, you know, a week, 2 week lag between when these features were available and when Google put out the official documentation.
Interesting.
So there's a group of us, I don't know if we're, like I said, storm chasers or something, that keep an eye on that. Now people kind of notify us. They're like, hey, we saw this happen. So I started wondering, I'm like, oh, there's got to be some sort of tag in the source code that tells us when this was released. So I went through and found that. It's pretty obvious. So all I need to do now is just set up something that, scrapes that once a day or twice a day or hourly or something, and then sends out a notification when it's been changed.
That's really cool. I like that. This is really exciting. And I love you've done kind of that inception thing with the Google Analytics. And that's actually one thing Tableau doesn't do. And I've actually asked them quite a few times, like, sure, you put Tableau public dashboards up and all you get is a view count. You know, were they on there for 1 second? Were they on there for 2 minutes? Which pages do they go to? Who knows? And there are hacks, but again, if it's a hack, it's not accessible. 1% of people are going to do it. So it's great to see, you know, there are things Data Studio can do that Tableau can't, because ultimately a dashboard, if you can't, you know, if no one's using it, or like you can't track engagement, it's really hard to tell if you're going down the right path, if people want it. And looking at the stats on your dashboard, it's definitely the case. Like, it's great. You've got these returning users and thousands of people looking at it every month. So that's amazing.
Yeah. So that's the interesting thing, because it really has no, and that's kind of an area on these, they're web beasts, you know, reports are web beasts. They live on the web. Of course, you can turn them into PDFs and make them static, which is a nice thing you can have. And of course, you know, this whole thing comes out of the Google Analytics area and the marketing area. So there's certain needs and requirements of that community for being able to update data, being able to feed data on a regular basis. So there's emphasis on those areas, which kind of push the design of the product, I think. So some things are very, very easy. Some things are, it's more designed towards things like, updating regularly now. Again, it's kind of geared towards coming out of the marketing statistics world and measuring web stuff. And of course, it lives on the web. So interesting things there. You really don't, unless you search specifically for Data Studio reports, you won't find a specific report on the web. I get very little SEO value so far out of this. I get some. I get a little bit of organic search. So the amount of use this gets, I get 2,500 over the last 30 days. And that's up a little bit. It speaks well to the usability of this. So there's a lot of return. There's about 20, almost a quarter of the people are return visitors to this report.
Yeah. And it's so cool. And you've built it so well. Like, as you've been talking, I've just been exploring, because I noticed there was like a little bump at the start or middle of the month for email referrals. And then I kind of just drilled into that source, expanded the date range, and there seems to be like a spike at the start or end of each month. So you must be on some kind of mailing list.
I'm on somebody's mailing list. Yeah. And I have to go find out. Well, yeah, you can actually, if you click on the email thing there, the little green email tab, it'll filter the entire chart by email. The interactive filters now are pretty good. Although, so this is part of the thing also that I'm finding is there's a new kind of visual vocabulary and language for users, not just designers, that I think will take a while for people to standardize or to integrate into their into their regular use. There's some things like that. Like on the main page, the cross-tab navigation, it's not something that you're used to seeing. So people I think, miss it sometimes, even though it's right in front of them. It's just not in their visual vocabulary.
It just takes a bit of getting used to. You're right. It's, and I think they're definitely working on that from the looks of it. Like, they, it keeps evolving, but I think there's still a bit of work to go. And I think I've just found out it might be in Spain, because you've also got a geo map here on your Google Analytics data, and a huge clustering of email is around Spain. Yeah. So it seems like you've got a bit of a Spanish audience following that, which is great.
That was really cool. So I didn't, but I was on Twitter, which, regardless of what people say, is a fabulous resource. For reaching out to people and just connecting with people, like any tool, it depends on how you use it, but I love it. So I was out there and ran across a couple of Spanish users and, had helped them out with some stuff. And, one of the big SEO people picked up one of my posts and put it out there with a nice Spanish heading on it. So I responded, you know, in, Google Spanish sort of thing. going through Translate first instead of writing in English. And I know a little bit of Spanish, vacation Spanish. They appreciated that, and his followers appreciated that. So they were like, oh, this guy, you know, cares about this audience a little bit. So that started to pick up and snowball. And then the bigger players were like, oh, this person, great.
This is kind of
snowballed. I got to speak at, I didn't get to travel over there, but I was at Google Educators Conference in Valencia. I was working with a guy. We were working on he came to me with a problem, and it's kind of weird. My philosophy is anybody who has a question, or I start helping them first and then ask who they are later. So he was working on this problem with, we were trying to figure out a way to make a report secure for a particular user so they would only see their data or data that was appropriate to them. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some ways to do that, but kind of a lighter approach to that. Like, oh, here's your code, and now it unlocks the data. Mm-hmm. So that you could make a single report for a whole bunch of different people, but each person could only see their data. And the tricky part with Data Studio is there's no input, really. Only input is, so there's no variable input.
The only thing they've got is like data controls, but that's only for certain pre-approved like data sources, right? Correct. It's tricky.
So you can't just switch it. So what we did was, we came up with some really clever, so this is the fun thing about Data Studio is, of course, it's new. So everyone, it's like, oh yeah, you should be able to do this. How can we do it? So you start collaborating with different people and throw a different, let's see if we can try this. So we did come up with some clever hack. We used the advanced search feature, covered up part of it so you couldn't change it to regex. So kind of blocked it on the screen. And then we covered the data up. Unless you searched for the right term, your code, it would cover up the data with, we initially did it with pictures or basically blocked everything out with an image on a table. Mm-hmm. That didn't work fast enough. So we did it with a bar chart. And then we ended up taking the selectors off single select, but in the URL, so we could pass you a URL so you could see your data. If you didn't know the code, you just went to the page, you couldn't see anything.
Wow, that's smart.
So it was actually based off this search thing, but we basically shrunk the search box and covered it up with a piece of canvas so you couldn't play with it anymore.
That's genius. And I love how tools like this are super flexible. Like, you get a bunch of smart, driven, creative people, and you can hack it, but get the desired results, which is amazing. But also touches upon just a theme I've seen constantly interviewing guests in for the DataViz community. You guys are all let me start again. The inspiring thing is, with the DataViz community, everyone is like, you know, jumping in, coming up with ideas, helping each other. And that's really cool to see, but that's not just, you know, just the realms of Tableau. It's the wider DataViz community. It doesn't matter of a tool. You guys are all in it together, just trying to fix problems, help people build cool stuff. And that's really inspiring to hear. Nice one.
It's really been. I mean, so that's been my greatest joy is helping people out. Like I said, with a tag like "Helpful Lee," it better be. I have to live up to that.
Yeah, you can't be a jerk. Yeah. You can't be a jerk with a name like that. Love it.
Rich Lee, or something like that. I've been able to collaborate with a ton of people, and I've been very open to that. Fortunately, I have a day job, so I don't have to rely on kind of that consulting type of thing. Although I have people now, starting to throw money at me and say, "Hey, can you help us out here?" sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I have the luxury now of if I want to work on something, I can.
But I think that's the cool thing, just career-wise, for all the listeners out there. DataViz, yeah, again, if you build up that reputation of even just the repertoire too of problem solving, being creative, you're the person people can throw problems at and you fix them. And that can go so far in your career. You're that person who can make that report or make that data sing, or you can build that thing. No, everyone else told us it was impossible. It would cost $100,000 to do, and you did it for nothing. There's so much value in that. And so I just want to remind people, if you're doing this outside of work, if you can't do it inside of work and you're engaging with the community, learning skills, trying new things, there's definitely there's a nice warm fuzzy payoff and you learn new things and it's fun, but there's also a tangible benefit to your career as well. So it's definitely worth investing in the community for a lot of reasons. So it's good to hear you've got that too.
For your own personal, Tableau, on the Tableau side, it's been so artistic. I think that's going to be forever its strong point, is the really graphic beauty of things that you can produce with Tableau. But you have entry points in a lot of different areas now. And there is no end to the data to visualize.
Yeah.
There's all these huge databases out there to go play with data, or playing with your own data. Like I said, if you don't have data and you don't have your own data, even a checking account, to play with, you are interested in other stuff, go find your other interest area and start building a resource like this to organize and display it.
Totally. It's great. It can be for anything. You just reminded me, I did something similar for the Tableau Zen Masters, it's like a kind of, I guess, program Tableau does. It's 30 in the world, and they're like, "Hey, you're pretty good with Tableau and you help the community. Nice work. Here's a rock." I got a few, but essentially it's really lovely. But the problem that is, I was solving for was, There's a lot of us now, and we're all around the world, and it's hard, and they're all great resources and super inspiring. So I made a little dashboard to kind of collate that all to make sure that people could find out who they were.
Didn't go with a data studio.
I didn't know it was in Tableau Public. I could build them in data studio, but I just think it was just like, I made it mobile friendly. Mobile friendly. So even if you're at a conference, Ryan Sleeper. Oh, cool. Okay. Here's his website. Oh, here's his Tableau, link to his Tableau Public. Oh, I now know a bit about him. It's just because there's such great resources, equally the resources you're surfacing in your dashboard. Why should it be all scattered across the wind? You should bring it together and make it accessible so more people can benefit. Definitely.
Resources like Google are great, but we rely on them too much sometimes. Google search. And I know I find lately Google tries to outguess me sometimes in what I want. It's like, "No, we think you want this." I'm like, "No, I specifically put in these, I specifically put the words in this order because I want this information, not that information." And it's, "No, we think you want this." So it's like, if only there was a place I could go to find, information stored a slightly different way. There's nothing wrong with the way Google displays data, but it's only one way.
Totally.
And there's different ways to explore data, as we all know, right? It could be it's not going to show you the number graphically like we have here in the resources, how-tos compared to technical articles.
Yeah, totally.
So and it is, yeah. I do find this sort of thing helpful. As you mentioned, like the conference thing, that was some of the first visualizations I did. And data, what I started off really being excited about was this embedding idea and the ability to make data widgets for websites. I'm in WordPress type stuff and working with a lot of small businesses and small developers and things like that. And I'm like, wow, this, I can actually build an application in this as long as it doesn't require input or calculation. As long, you know, I can't calculate an insurance rate for you, but I could use the entire actuarial tables to look it up. So if I can look it up, I can give it to you. If I
yeah.
to calculate it, it's hard to do.
Yeah,
on an input. So it's not as flexible as like a JavaScript application. On the other hand, I can build you an application in like 10 minutes. It's like, give me the data. Yeah. I can give you an application. And then that little application. So what I did was I built a built several things, visualizations for conferences for some of the WordCamps I went to. So I scraped their data and then made a scheduler and said, oh, you're in this track. You know, are you a beginner? Here's the things for you. Are you, you know, advanced? Then here's the things you, here's the track you ought to go through.
But that's smart though, because again, you don't want a beginner turning up in an advanced class or vice versa, because it's wasting their time and potentially even a chair or a spot for someone who could benefit from that. So again, it's a small thing, but it's a powerful thing bringing that information to.
And then I was able to post that back on my website and say, hey, are you going to the WordCamp? Go check out this widget. Hey, and by the way, put this widget on your site, right?
Yeah, it's all right? Democratic, it's all free.
And then they started putting it on their site. Now, the cool thing is I had Google Analytics on that. So I can see from the other people's sites how much traffic they're getting to that widget.
That's smart.
So this was my idea, was to build these flexible widgets for different areas like tree selection. Say you're an arborist and I want to select the tree. Well, I can have nice, now I can have, back then, when I first started, you couldn't have nice graphics. Now you can have nice graphics and tree pictures and all of that. Basically, sort of a guided selling filter type thing. I could distribute that free to all the arborists out there, right? A free version. And then say, oh, would you like me to remove my branding? $5, you know?
That's entrepreneurial. I like it.
Would you like it customized for your site? So it opens the road to kind of customizable data widgets. And if you think about the market for infographics, right? Interactive infographics that can be embedded on a site and modified and updated, right? So you can create, instead of having a static infographic, why not have a beautiful updated infographic that gets spread all over?
Yeah, and that's brilliant. It's so liberating. It's now like, because you mentioned the $5, like if someone wanted like that kind of thing, they go to a developer and they'd be like, that's $500. And you'd be like, it's all good. But then that kind of stifles like this sharing economy of like data and best practice, and you kind of get inspired and build other things. So it's cool to see that, you know, this data studio can allow people like yourself to do that stuff, which is great. Rather than just being hoarded to a couple of people.
The bar is low. I think the tools here have just opened up different avenues of expression and different areas of commerce and employment, you know, and jobs and such for side gigs and things like that. And probably, like I said, I've seen some template shops now for studio templates. They've been around for a little while. I don't know how they're doing money-wise. But that was one of the things I was interested in. Other interesting things that I've seen out there, and it's always interesting to see how this is all great, but how can I make any, you know, living at it or anything, you know?
Yeah.
I'd like to do a hobby, but I'd like some upside, maybe payoff for that. Fascinating models I've seen is these groups of, in one case it was nonprofits. And so there was a a company that pulled all these nonprofits together and said, give us access to your analytics for $800. No, you pay us $800 and we'll connect to your analytics. And what we'll provide back to you is a benchmarked report, right? So the benchmark report is that compared to these other companies.
Each paying $800.
It's brilliant because it's like, hey, I don't know how I'm doing compared to these other nonprofit organizations. And obviously they're not going to show me all their data, but I can get a benchmark compared to a bunch of them. So this company basically says, join our group. We'll connect to your data and we'll give you a benchmark of everybody else in the group and your specific stats compared to them.
Okay.
So they're able to just duplicate that one report.
Reaggregate.
All you have to do is filter for that one customer, duplicate it, and done. I'm like, oh my God, that's genius.
It's very smart. And I guess $800 isn't too bad for a charity. I guess they go to other companies, they charge them far more. So it's still, it took time to do. So yeah, that's really good. Cause then they can benchmark, they can improve, they can see where they need to change things to.
Every company kind of gets this inside view, but it's not detailed enough to see what another organization is doing, but it's combined. So their strength is being able to pull a bunch of people into this organization to get access to that data.
I like that. Yeah, it's like scalable insights. Like for the company who sets it up too, they don't have to build the distribution platform and it already exists. They just kind of massage the data. So yeah, I never really thought about this.
Suck the data into a bunch of sheet. And actually, in this case, it's high level. So they can do it in data sheets or Google Sheets. Hook it up to Google Analytics, pull the stuff in, and then report out on it.
That's
super simple, so it's all automated. Once they have access to the data,
it's all secure, scalable. It's smart. I never thought about that, like how to monetize like this kind of stuff. But it's really interesting. I haven't thought about that. I'm gonna have to see how I get side hustle going.
I'm full of ideas.
I love it. But guys, so if any listeners have anything they've done, give us let me know. I'm happy to share, promote that stuff. But that's a really good angle.
If anybody's interested in exploring the data widget idea or infographics, the other type of models that I've kind of been interested in are the graphic shop models. There's a couple of graphic shops out there, Design Pickle. I think is one of them that has a flat subscription rate, like a per month rate for basically all you can eat designs. Within some limitations, obviously, time wise. But they charge like something crazy, like $400 a month. And you have a representative there and you have basically team type people that you work with. So you get this graphic team for like $400 a month.
And it sounds like a lot, but that's so cheap. And then you don't have the risk of hiring for a design. Smart.
So it's interesting, these subscription models, things like that. So I think there's some, it's like, well, this stuff is great, but how do I make a living at it? Or at least how do I build it into what I do?
But I'll tell you what, it's don't make a YouTube channel. There's no money there. So I think widgets might be a better thing. That's great. Because I guess we've been talking for quite a while, which is great. And typically we normally have a set of questions, but I think this has just organically evolved, this conversation, which is great. And these questions are normally just like a guide. So what I might do is I might just skip through the ones we've already covered. Like, you've already talked about what inspired you for the Vizz, how you've gone about collecting the data. I guess you've talked about how you've approached it too, how you've iterated and built upon it, which is awesome. We've already looked at insights. So I love this. We just naturally flow through all this. So you've learned quite a few skills. We've discussed quite a few things around that too, which is great.
Did you want to get into kind of the guts of data collection for this?
Let's do that just very briefly. So I'm assuming scale, it's like a Google form. Would that be a correct assumption?
Well, there's a bunch of different things that go on here that have evolved over time also try to make it more streamlined and also set an example for others. So the add new resource button on there takes you to a Google form. So other people can submit and please, if you find Data Studio resources that aren't on here, feel free to submit them. They won't go on here automatically. I review everything.
That's good. Yeah.
And you can put your own review on there, but and your own rating, but I may change it.
I like that. Five stars. Five
most
stars,
likely. Yeah, everything's five stars. I got a lot of five-star stuff lately, I've had a couple of two-star things, too. Anyhow.
Very modest. Yeah, I'm going to give it to you, but it's all right. Two-star.
There were a couple of outlets I was disappointed with. Way data gets in here is interesting. One, I'm on Twitter quite a bit. I used the tool itself to prospect initially. So like the Twitter posts area, there's a current up-to-date latest and greatest Twitter posts. So I basically scan through Twitter for anything Data Studio related, if this, then that, to put it into a Google Sheet. Mm-hmm. And then surface it back up here. The Twitter post for Google Data Studio, that's the most recent month. Unfortunately, I have to work on an automated rollover at some point for the Google Sheets.
Because,
there's a 2,000 limit row for if this then that, unfortunately. And then it changes sheets. So every 2,000, what I do is I take all of those and I go dump them into the historical tweets, which has 40,000 tweets going back through 2017. So if somebody asked me a question, yesterday, they were like, "Hey, I need to know how to put annotations on a Data Studio. Help me." And initially, they didn't ask me. They asked one of the other folks in the community, Johnny. And I saw it, though, because I get notified every time that somebody says Data Studio. Data Studio on Twitter. I show up just automatically.
And looking at your stats, that's at least 2,000 times a month. So it's got a lot of notifications. Wow.
So I don't these days I don't catch everything, but I'll often scan through there or I'll get notified of Data Studio comments or releases, somebody's new post they'll be putting out there, right? So I'll do that. I'll go to the post. And then what I did was I now have a plugin called Citable. It's actually for doing research, academic research. So it's a little Chrome plugin. And it basically, if you're on a page, you click it and it pops up a box and says, what do you want to say about this article? It automatically grabs the author out of scrapes the author out of the page. The title, all these things that I normally put in my form, right? So I can be cruising the net and go, that's a cool article. Boom. I'll write up a quick, I won't do a full review, but I'll write up a fairly quick summary so I can come back later. It goes into a queue table. And then that queue table, I have a Data Studio for. So I have another version of this, which is an editing report. And there's edit buttons on every article on there. So I can actually pull those back into the Google form.
Smart.
Yeah.
I
tried to get rid of the error points of automatically of touching the data and the actual sheet, which is, good data cleanliness sort of thing, right?
Well, cleanliness and speed and human error, reducing human errors. That's very, that's very good. Because even if it's a few seconds, compound that over a couple of hundred times, and that's a huge time sink. So that's a good investment.
So there's actually a different version of this sheet. So that's the other nice thing about Data Studio reports. As long as you're connected to the data, you just copy and modify. So I have another version of this, which has a different column, which has an edit button on it. So any of those articles, I can go back in and change and update. There's also a queue table, which has all the things that are waiting in the queue for me to finish reviewing. And then, so I can go in there, they're in a different table, but as soon as I hit them, they get pulled into the form. I save the form and it goes to the other sheet and right out to the public. So it's kind of a little, it's an automated knowledge gathering publishing system.
Yeah.
So I've thought about this at work, and it's a great model, I think. Mm. It's like I could send a team of my people out in any niche and say, go get a bunch of articles and tag these, and then we'll review them and put them out in a format like this that could be embedded on a website.
That is genius. Because, yeah, you've tackled the scaling issue. You can get 10, 100 people doing this, but you've also got things in place to ensure the data is of good quality and consistent enough, and it's not going to break things, but it's also following like consistent inputs. And yeah, that's genius. Because if you had to do this all manually, you'd have to spend so much time double checking if the data was okay and cut and paste like each individual field. So that's a really inspired way of capturing that data at scale in a consistent and accurate way. Wow.
And I find that in there, I mean, you can always do scraping, but I found the scraping just a lot of times it's become such a commodity now, people scraping data. And the problem is they're not really adding, which is great. I mean, I love being able to do that. But the real value is adding value to those resources. So there's the pulling them together, but then there's the adding value. So, like, I work for an industrial ceiling company for my day job. I want to take this to them and say, hey, we should be known as the experts in this area, generally. How can we do that? Well, let's pull together a review of all of the scientific articles and industry articles that you guys use, put them all in one place, and then publish that in a format sort of like this, where they can search for whatever problems those technical engineers have. And then they become the experts in that area.
Yeah.
I mean, it becomes a resource on the web that they can use and share. They don't have to push their stuff.
Yeah, this has got legs, because then you can just kind of farm out that system. It sounds relative that you just make it a bit more plug and play. And anyone can do it. It doesn't matter on the industry, the topic. Right. Yeah, that's really cool.
And what I like about this is the embeddability of that, the dynamic stuff on there. So I've actually, where I work, I've made product selectors out of Data Studio and just insert them into web pages. So people who are looking, believe me, it's nothing you're going to buy for Christmas. So, hey, I'll run right out there and buy industrial gaskets, okay? But on the website, there's, you can make fairly sophisticated selectors. We're dealing with filters. Like I said, I can't deal with inputs, then I would have to write a JavaScript program, but I can build you a filtering system and a fairly complicated and elegant filtering system to find what you need. I actually built two fun things visualization wise. I had several fun things that you might enjoy on the interactive side. The things that I've built in the past were, I built an interactive, it was Lee's interactive storyboard. So using filtering and overlays of images, I had like a simple storybook. So it was like, you pick the background scene. It was a lovely day on the farm and you pick the farm background and it's like, oh, look, there's a bunch of chickens. And then it would put the chickens in there and write the text at the bottom. So it was a little...
That's cute. I like that. That's great creative.
So it's like this very simple storyboard that was driven off off a data sheet. So you could modify the selections very easily. So it's an application, but you could modify it very easily. Then I built an adventure game.
Cool.
Which is now... I think it's still working. So just to see if I could do it. So I spent a weekend or two working on it. So I had to be able to filter different sections by your selection. And then that would filter all the other options. So you had kind of like step one, you're in a cave, you go left or right and have the pictures of the stuff there and you go right in that. And it's like, you're in a room with, a giant ant sort of thing. Do you stab it or do you run away? And then that would
be
the next one. And then it's like, oh no, you died, start over sort of thing.
Wow. Is that is that available online?
I'll send you a link.
I'd love to. I'll put it in the show notes too so everyone else can check that out. That's awesome.
Yeah, so so those were just kind of whimsical, but they were hardcore proof of concepts. Because if you think about an interactive storyboard, right, there's not much between that and a product configuration screen.
Hmm.
Like, hey, I'd like to see this in red, or I'd like to see this widget with that dongle on it. So being able to dynamically put layer pictures over each other,
yeah,
from filters is something you would pay a lot of money to a developer for.
Massively, yeah.
But you can do 90% of it right in the system. Let me see. Data Studio stuff.
I've just found it. So keep going. I'm going to have a quick play whilst we go. So I'm going to Verlight. I'm choosing
a sword.
Yeah, I'm choosing a sword. Oh, here comes the ant. Wow, this is fun. So you basically built a choose your own adventure game inside of Data Studio. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just going to go fight the ant. Let's see what happens. What are we going to? I died. Okay. Did I die? Oh, no, wait, hang on. I killed it. Yes. Nice. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
There we go. Won.
Brilliant. Okay, cool. But that's so cool. That's so creative. I love that. It's amazing.
So that was kind of like, hey, if you can make an adventure game, you can make a guided selling or an expertish type system, right?
Yeah.
To guide someone through a process. So the logic is the same for building an expert system, but a guided system. So you can guide someone through a process and say, oh, did you do one of these? Okay, now it's going to change the steps that you have to follow next.
Yeah, but it's still logic. You think about the user. Yeah, but that's just like building a good dashboard or a good application or interface. So, but that's fun. Again, it's like, this is what we were talking about earlier. Like, you've done something a bit fun and creative, tested the boundaries of the tool, and then built a, and then use those skills probably to come back into your work and, like, you know, really push the, you know,
it does, of course, like I said, the gaskets. Well, so at work, I did a couple of creative things. And like I said, I've been using Data Studio more as a shortcut to application development. I do use it for visualization as well, of course, in different areas. But there's so many people who are so talented out there. I would rather promote them. And say, hey, look at what, you know, Ricardo Zagaglia is doing with his stuff, or the Soares brothers, or, you know, any of these people, and say, hey, here's this really cool thing. Go check it out. What I often do is find the underpinnings of the stuff. And actually I often, people will ping me and say, hey, can you got any ideas on this sort of thing? So that's part of the other role I play is, people will throw me challenges, and I like collaborating with people, so I'll kind of collaborate and we'll see if we can come up with a solution. And then they take it and run with it and make beautiful, wonderful things for industry. And so I do some of that at work. Part of the reason I got into Data Studio was I have, in my day job, I was an application programmer, so I built an e-commerce system in Java. Which is great, but I really wanted to understand what was going on. It's basically our distributors order from us and ask for availability and stuff, machine to machine, right? So it's their accounting system talking to our accounting system. Blah, blah, blah. Well, that's great, but the only way to track that is log file. So I was like, well, let me see. I've got the Google Analytics measurement protocol available. Let me set up an analytics profile for this to gather all the data. So I would, although there was no real web front end, I would use Google Analytics to gather the information. It is universal analytics. So you can basically override any of the, there's nothing in there that says you must log a web page. Let's put it that way. You can overload some of their functions. So like a page view can become a product view, depending upon how you're interpreting it. Now inside of Google Analytics, it has reports and stuff, but Data Studio does not. So I was able to take this application, which has all these transactions going back and forth, fire the data at Google Analytics, so I didn't need a database. I'm using Google's database, basically, Google Analytics, which is huge and fast and real time, basically. So I don't need to do anything there because I'm lazy and I don't like databases. So I fired everything into there. Mm-hmm. And then I built my Data Studio report so I can actually see now, like if somebody's doing product availability and they have errors, like they're asking for the wrong item, it logs it in there and I can see it visually. So I have my graph in real time showing, you've got these many errors coming through. Let's investigate why your accounting system is wrong. Yeah. And I can share that, even though it's for all the companies that do business with us, I can share it, filter it for an individual company and share that with the company.
That's so smart. Yeah, because again, there's your security, just do the accounts. But you haven't needed to build like an army of app developers. You've just built and validated this need and built it inside of Data Studio. That's so powerful.
Wow, yeah, so that's amazing. Coming out really, really well. Like I said, so product selectors on the sites, I mean, just stuff that I do, and then other people are doing some other things. I think there's more opportunity for this tool, but people just haven't quite gotten there yet.
Yeah, but I think as the community evolves and the product evolves, it's going to reach that critical mass where it's just going to blow up in a good way. So
yeah,
it's exciting to see, with people like you are fueling that reaction, that chemical reaction. So this is amazing, and I'm excited to see where it goes. That's why I keep, I do like Tableau, but I push myself to use other tools, and Data Studio is one of them because it has such great potential. So it's cool to see.
Yeah, you've made some really neat reads. Like I said, I definitely followed since way back, and you were creating some really interesting things. And of course, I love the Datasaurus Rex style.
Thanks.
The logos and the videos and everything. I'm just like, oh wow, that's great.
Thank you. No, that's cool.
So I'm very disappointed to see you in person. That's.
Oh yeah, I'm not a big red Tyrannosaurus Rex.
So, yeah.
Sorry. I'm working on that one.
Where is that guy?
Yeah. I'll wear a mask next time. It's scare people first time they see me.
But it was, and it's kind of a lesson in great branding too. Mm. I mean, it's worked out very well. It's very recognizable. It's like, oh, this person has a perspective and a voice, even though I didn't know who you were. The mask sort of thing.
Yeah.
The brand voice came through and your voice came through.
Thank you. That's good to hear. It's, I try and make DataViz fun and accessible to everyone, not just, so it's good to hear that's come through. It's just a bit of fun. It's got to be fun too, because if it's super dry and boring, no one wants to engage with that. So it's, I try and put a few silly things in, visual gags.
It was something that you did. I think it was a Data Studio, and you had animated GIFs in it from
And I think I did one on data controls where I tried to do a motion graphic explaining how they work, and I think I replaced my head with a TV and I had to do green screen and motion tracking, and I'm not sure if you've seen that one.
I was looking at one with it was just video game elements.
Oh yes, the Games Done Quick
speedrunners.
Yeah, the speedrunners charity thing. Yeah, that was fun. Again, I just saw, you put GIFs in things. Oh, this is cool. Just gives it a bit more life. And
well, let's see if we can do an animated GIF, right?
Yeah. It's funny. So just pop it in. Yeah.
That's kind of the fun thing with Data Studio right now. It's still a little Wild Westy. Not all the frontiers have been conquered. Some people have come up with some solutions, that's kind of what I've done, is tried to put people connect people in solutions where they exist. But there's lots of areas where there are solutions waiting to come about, people figuring stuff out. And I really think between Tableau and Data Studio and some of the other tools, I think we're seeing a little, it's going to be interesting training the consumers of this information to read to read these charts. So some charts we have a very, very solid understanding of. We know up and to the right, you know, it's like a chart that goes up to the right. Bar chart goes up to the right. Okay, I understand that. A Sankey chart, I'm like, And then, so, you know, radar chart, it's a more complex concept, right? It's more nuanced. So, right now, Data Studio has the basic charts in it, which I think is kind of your fundamental ABCs of graphing. And of course, now they have the community visualization. So you can go supposedly stick just about any visualization in Data Studio. You just have to wedge it in there. There's some that are more accessible than others, but it's open for development. So you can basically add your own. But it'll be interesting to see how that language, that graphic language, kind of plays out in our literacy and our understanding of it.
Totally. And it's awesome to see both the like companies like Google, Salesforce, Tableau putting, money and resources behind pushing this further, but also the community like engaging with it, challenging it, coming up with these hacks, and they might go back into the product and make a voice. So it's an exciting time, and it's great that anyone who's listening too, get involved in those communities. This is how these products get better. This is how you learn and grow and try new things. So and get inspired. Like, you don't know what you don't know. So suddenly if you come across a new Viz or like dashboard leads built, and you go, oh, I didn't know it was possible. Oh, I can solve this problem at work. And then you kind of go implement it yourself. It just keeps on giving, I think, engaging with this community.
Yeah, no, I just my time is a little bit off here. Two days ago. I was on Twitter, and one of my one of the folks on Twitter said, "Hey, that's a great looking Data Studio," and tagged me and said, "Hey, take a look at this for your templates and stuff." So it looked really good on this at quick blush. I'm like, "Oh yeah, So I'm looking at the details on it, going, no, you can't combine users and revenue in the same bar at 100%. I'm like, wait, something funny is going on here. So it turned out it was a student in India, and he had somehow gotten had pushed this out to somebody on Twitter, and they took notice, and then I took notice. And like I said, the layout was kind of nice. But when I started digging in the charts, I'm like going, I can't put some, I can't push this, but here, let me, and so very nicely, I was like, oh, well, let me look at this and would you like some advice on this sort of thing? And he's like, sure. So we got into a LinkedIn conversation back and forth. So he shared a copy with me, and I was able to go modify the stuff and say, okay, if you want to share this, the problem is these things are going to break because they're custom fields. You're going to have to tell somebody somewhere how to recreate them. And these charts are upside down, sort of thing.
But that's beautiful.
But the fact that you've gotten people's attention with a decent, but the layout was still nice. It had nice white space. Graphically, it looked nice. It was just when I actually looked at the data, I'm like, oh no. We need some work on this. But he was very appreciative and was like, hey, this is great. I'll redo this. And I'm like, hang in there. Keep doing it. He's like, I'm going back to school next semester. I'm like, hey, if you're doing this now, you're doing great.
That's amazing. And you're supporting people in the community at all levels. And that's amazing. Like, it's just global. This community isn't just one country. Like, we've seen in Spain, I'm in Singapore, Australia, America, London. Like, it's everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of which, you mentioned a book. So I'm going to ask what project is next for you, but I think it's going to be the book you're writing. So can you just tell us a little bit about that before?
Really old school, right? Let's write a book about data visualization, which we all love. But I'm still having mixed feelings on it. I'm excited to do it. I was just out there, and I was approached kind of out of the blue by the publisher Wiley, and they said, "Hey, would you like to write a Data Studio book?" And I said, "Sure, I think." Let me go see what other data studio books there are out there. And there was only like one in German. So, well, so I now know why, you know. So I just spent my last couple months doing 4 rewrites of the first big chapter. One, learning how to do book stuff as opposed to blog things.
Yeah.
And now, just when I finally got it in, they changed 2 of the interfaces that I had just documented on Data Studio. They changed the, you know, so I had this intro chapter, like, here's your Data Studio main control screen. They just changed it, like, yesterday. So I had just pushed this to a technical publisher, and now it's like, oh, no, it's out of date.
Yeah.
Already. So now I know why people haven't written Data Studio books. So this is an official calendar. So this will not be an advanced book because the features are changing so much.
Hmm.
This book is more a sort of, it's called, you know, Hands-on Data Studio. And I really wanted it, what is it, a survival guide for data citizens. So I'm really gearing it more towards people who are just starting off with visualization or are tasked with doing something at work, or want to see their own personal data, like you said, your Fitbit data, take control of your data sort of thing, to give people a way to do these basic jobs, understand a little bit of data, give them some best practices, but get them in the door to actually working with data instead of having all the big companies like Facebook and all those guys do it for you, doing it yourself and understanding it. So that was the goal of the book. So it's going to be geared towards that. There's just some basic guides. Unfortunately, funny story, I tried to use an Elon Musk type character as an example. I spent days making fake checking accounts with all sorts of cool things in them, and then called it Elon Musk. So, and my publishers came back after the second rewrite. They came back and said, "You cannot use this. It's too close to Elon Musk. We'll get sued."
Yeah. So don't want to get sued by him. Yeah. That's not good. But that's exciting. So when's
so that's taking up my time. That should be due out in October.
Ah, cool.
Hopefully the deadline is end of August. I had a couple medical issues, which back a couple months ago. Oh, so that was just one of the things. Anything I'd like to say, people who are at your desks, get up and move around. So I had a blood clot sort of thing. Which I'm usually fairly healthy and haven't found anything since then. But usually that's due to sedentary nature. And it's on the weekends I've been working on these side jobs and this book. So I've been sitting a lot. So I now have an under desk elliptical. So I'm pedaling it now. You know, things you need to do. If you're in this type of industry, this is a real hazard. Get yourself a stand-up desk. Make sure you take regular breaks and move. It's not necessarily that you have to go out to the gym and do hardcore stuff. You just have to stay away from being sedentary for long hours.
That's good to know. Thank you for sharing that. It's just important.
Yes, that's my in my spare time. I'm also a Tai Chi instructor.
You just like this dense, rich, interesting onion. I keep getting back layers,
and there's just too, if you want.
Wow. Okay. So I think this is a great break. I think we could definitely be chatting for ages. So I would love to have you back on.
Maybe do a check-in or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, check in on the book and any other developments, and that'd be great. Because I feel this has been awesome, and I've loved chatting to you. So Lee, thank you so much for being on here. This dashboard is great. For anyone who's watching or listening, all of the things we talked about will be in the show notes below. So be sure to check those out. And thank you so much for your time. I'm excited to see what you come up with next when we check in later this year. And look, if you're new to the podcast, consider subscribing to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. Also visit datasaurus-rex.com/welcome to see all the other data visualization content we have to help you out. Till the next time, thank you very much. And thank you, Lee.